persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. My dear friends, I think being prepared is important, and that's why I keep a first aid kit in my car along with a spare tire and jumper cables. And even after all that, I subscribe to AAA Roadside Service. Never know when you'll need a tow. And, of course, it's really not a matter of if an emergency will eventually happen. It's really all about when and how severe it might be. Now, folks, I know you can overdo anything, but underdo preparation, and you're likely to regret it. Anyway, El Nino is coming, and they say it's going to be a deluge of biblical proportions. Well, that's overstated, of course. But flooding is a possibility. And then there's the long overdue earthquake that they're talking about. Or that nut in Korea might throw a fit and launch an EMP attack over America, knocking out our electronics. Something the Pentagon takes seriously, even if you don't, by the way. These and other concerns present real concern about the possibility that our access to food, water, and other essentials could be interrupted. Now, Lighthouse Baptist Church, with some friends of the Brain Massage Show, are putting on a survival expo. And that takes place this month, October the 17th. And it runs from 9 to noon. Now, you'll be given information about food prep and storage, how to prepare for water needs, fire, security, communications, power, sanitation, you know, how to put together a bug-out bag, all of it. And it's free at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, October 17th, beginning at 9 a.m. So go to our website at santamarialighthouse.org, pass your mouse over Resource in the menu bar, and then select Survival Expo 15 from the drop-down menu. Complete the registration form, and don't forget to click on Send at the end so we can prepare a place for you at the Santa Maria Area Emergency Preparedness Survival Expo 15, October 17 at 9 a.m. at the Lighthouse. Okay, folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Oregon, oh my, our sister state is saddened with us by the senseless murder of 10 and I think wounding of 7 of her children by some deranged lunatic there at Umpqua College. His name is Chris Harper Mercer, by the way, but we'll just call him the Creep. He was 26 years old, a resident of that area, but not a student at the college, so far as I understand it. One witness said he demanded the students tell them their religion, and if they answered Christian, he would shoot them in the head. If they answered something else or did not answer, he would then shoot them in the leg. One witness said the creep asked a student this question, and when the student said that they were a Christian, the creep said, "Good, then you're going to see God in about 2 seconds," and then shot him. While in high school, fellow students of the creep described him as a normal guy. Someone, you know, who would step in to break up fights. Who was defensive of girls being mistreated. Stuff like that. He described himself a lover, conservative, professional, intellectual, introverted. Something changed, however. And by the time he was 26 years of age, he was talking differently. He was saying things that are very disturbing. According to the Daily Beast, from a blog connected to the creep's email address, he was praising Roanoke, Virginia's mass murderer, Vester Flanagan. He wrote, quote, "On an interesting note, I have noticed that so many people like him are all alone and unknown. Yet when they spill a little blood, the whole world knows who they are. A man who was known by no one is now known by everyone. His face splashed across every screen, his name across the lips of every person on the planet, all in the course of one day. Seems the more people you kill, the more you're in the limelight," end quote. According to one source, the creep, quote, "left behind a note that glorified mass killings and bitterly referred to a lonely existence with few human contacts outside the internet," end quote. I can't find a copy of that note anywhere, and so I cannot determine if this is a reference to the blog that I mentioned earlier or to the posts that were found on a web forum called 4chan warning students not to go to school tomorrow if you're in the Northwest, and that was in the area where these students would attend the Umpqua College, with an underlying threat in his tone and sense that students would be in danger there. And some think that this was posted by the creep the night before his killing spree. The post read as follows, quote, "Some of you guys are all right. Don't go to school tomorrow if you are in the Northwest," end quote. And then he signed it off with, quote, "So long, space robots," end quote. Now, I don't know what that expression means, space robots. I mean, other than literally robots that go to space. I mean, in this context, we know he disliked people associated with organized religion. That much is clear. So if the creep did write this, maybe it's some kind of strange epithet for religious people. I don't know. Anyway, the FBI is investigating whether the creep posted this on that web forum. If he did, then the comments responding to his on this forum make this whole event even more disturbing. Those responding to his post encouraged him to go for it and even offered tips on how to go about it. One wrote, quote, "I suggest you enter a classroom and tell people you will take them as hostages. Make everyone get in one corner and then open fire," end quote. One message included a picture of the loser who recently shot and killed six in Santa Barbara, with a note fixed or attached with that picture that said, quote, "It takes a great man to do great things. Become legendary," end quote. Here's another that, if possible, is even sicker. Quote, "If you're suicidal and hate people, then do it. If not, then stay away from what will ruin your life," end quote. Another said, quote, "Make us proud, Anon," end quote. And Anon, standing for anonymous. And another, quote, "Kill them all for us," end quote. Nice forum, huh? Only one person responded sort of appropriately. They posted the FBI tips website. Now, we don't know whether that person or anyone else bothered to actually use it. But, my friends, there is one hero in all of this. I mean, besides the first responders who got in there and shot the creep, using a gun, by the way. I guess guns can't figure out whether to do bad things or good things. One of the students at the college, a veteran by the name of Chris Mintz, intervened in an effort to save some of the students, and he was shot 7 times, I understand, and mysteriously, both of his legs were broken. How weird is that? So Obama, however, will tell you that it's all about the guns. See, now I've got his speech right here, and I've read through it, and I've listened to it. And it's clear that he wants to use this event to launch an all-out assault on our Second Amendment rights, and he wants to lay the blame for these events on people like us who believe in the Second Amendment. Now, I'll get to his propaganda ploy in a moment. But let me offer you an answer to that question. Why is this happening in America right now? We have a growing subculture in this country of people whose thoughts and feelings are reflected by those quotations I just gave you a moment ago from that forum. You know, those who encouraged this creeper or someone like him to gather students into a corner and open fire on them, who egged him on, who said, you know, "Make us proud and kill them all for us." You know, like the creeper, these people are deeply involved in the culture of punk rock, industrial goth music, that dark stuff. They're nihilistic hymns, if you will, that call for destruction, for mayhem. They despise life and celebrate death. So let's dig a little deeper. Being as they are, then, children of disobedience, taken captive by the prince and power of the air at his will, that's what the Bible says, and driven to deface that image of God given to man, to mock the image of God, to degrade, to besmirch, to profane and debase the image of God, which belongs to man, which that dark prince hates so deeply. Remember, he boasted, "I will be like the Most High," but his boasting was rebuffed, and Christ watched as he fell from heaven as a bolt of lightning, and God took dust, formed man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and imprinted upon that lowly creature that which Satan coveted, the image and likeness of God. And he hates the image bearer with envy and with scorn. Envy because it possesses what he covets but can never have. Scorn because it's a weak creature lower than the angels, exalted above him, the prince and power of the air. And so he, together with his army of children of disobedience, have a deeply embedded enmity against God. And so they especially hate those Christians, you know. Are you a Christian? Yes. Good. Then you're going to see God in about 2 seconds. Yeah. Wonder what he saw the first second after the shot that drilled a bullet through his skull. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Uh-oh, there's that fire and brimstone preacher again. Well, you know what? You just go to the Pope. He's your guy. He'll secretly arrange a meeting with dear Kim Davis and send a Vatican car to bring her to meet him because he wanted to encourage her for her courage. But the Vatican representatives tell her to change her hairstyle so no one will know it's her. Why? Because they didn't have the courage to let anyone know that the Pope was meeting with this lady, and what's all that about? And now that it's come out that he did, the Vatican is stepping all over itself, trying to play it down like it meant nothing, you know? It does not mean the Vatican supports her position, and, well, it's as Rush put it, I mean, really, who would ever think the Vatican was opposed to gay marriage? Huh? After all, according to this pope, who is he to judge a homosexual priest that loves God, right? But he is certainly ready to set himself up as judge against all you Christians who depend on air conditioning. I mean, this guy is a joke. He is going to cowardly back off his earlier praise for the courage of Kim Davis, who took a stand that he does not have the moral fortitude to take himself. This is the most pathetic pope you Catholics have ever had in my lifetime, and I'm sorry for you. But you know, if you're going to be friends with Obama, well, you know, that's just the price you're going to have to pay. Your convictions are going to have to bow to the Obama. You understand that, don't you? You have a pope that is bowing the religious beliefs of your entire religious organization to the agenda of the most wicked president the United States has ever had to deal with. Now, folks, you want to know why America is suffering these ever-increasing incidents of mass killings? Every one of these creeps who have pulled this did not do it because they could get a gun. They did it because they are alienated in this culture and corrupted by the secularist, anti-God, relativist morality where the ultimate sense of being and connecting doesn't come from family and immediate friends and so on. No, that belonging and sense of purpose and meaning in life comes in this culture from being famous. And the easiest way to get that fame is to do something infamous. On an interesting note, remember the creep wrote, I have noticed that so many people are all alone and unknown, and yet when they spill a little blood, the whole world knows who they are. A man who was known by no one is now known by everyone. His face splashed across every screen, his name across the lips of every person on the planet, all in the course of one day. Seems the more people you kill, the more you're in the limelight, end quote. And this culture breeds that obsession. And so this, together with the ongoing cultural revolution out from under God toward under the state, teaching our children they are nothing but the accidental product of a mindless process called evolution, detaching our children from God and from family, so they're feeling isolated more and more and alienated and have no basis upon which to honor life or regard it as sacred, or to even care about their own life for that matter. This trend toward cheapening life, degrading life, scorning the sanctity of life, a culture shaped in part by over 40 years of the legalized and brutal murder of babies in their mothers' wombs, cheapening life to the point that today Planned Parenthood participates in the business of selling babies' body parts, and we can barely get a Congress together to stop funding them. And then California joins 5 other states legalizing euthanasia, another step toward the ovens of Auschwitz. Make killing part of the healer's craft? The spirit in them hates human life. They, being human, are unwittingly driven toward the elimination of human life from the planet. Anyway, Obama says it's about guns, as if the availability of guns is what causes this. In this cultural setting, these deranged mass murdering creeps would simply find another way to get the fame, because the more people you kill, the more you're in the limelight. Regardless of how you kill them, it's just like a liberal to totally miss the point of a problem and then encourage us to take steps and throw all kinds of money in a direction that will only exacerbate and make it worse. My friend, if we ever needed the Second Amendment, it is today to protect ourselves against these kinds of creeps. May God help us. We need the right to bear arms today more than perhaps we've ever needed it in our history. A friend, Tom, observed what many of you, I'm sure, have thought. Hey, you want a gun policy that would provide the greatest possible amount of protection for our students? Here's one. Have at least one person posted in every classroom with a carry permit that's packing. Have you noticed that these things always happen in gun-free zones, and they always end when a good guy shows up with a gun? I mean, every time we have a problem like this, we call for some guy with a gun to come stop it. Well, if good guys were allowed to conceal carry their guns on these campuses, like what the Second Amendment guarantees, by the way, well, these things could end a lot sooner and save a whole lot more lives. Okay, I need to go to break. I'll be right back. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to weigh in on Russia's actions in Syria. You know what? If Putin wanted to stop ISIS, Syria would not be the place to attack. They're in Iraq. Nah, he's there to help his buddy Assad anyway. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Lighthouse Baptist Church and the Brain Masseur invite you to this year's Lights On Banquet. Reserve your seat for the November 13 Lights On Banquet. The God and Gunclinger Home Defense Kit will be awesome this year. We've given a Mossberg shotgun, an AR-15, a loaded 1911, 45 with wooden grips. Nice. This year? Oh, can't wait to find out. Call 1-888-770-8000 to register right away. Get your early registration discount, only $15 each through October 15. All early registrants receive one extra drawing ticket for each two paid guests that attend the banquet. Call right away to reserve your seat at the Lights On Banquet, 1-888-770-8000. And don't forget Lou's succulent tri-tip meal and the live performance of a brain massage radio show. $15 each till October 15, then prices go to $20 each. Seats are limited, so call today.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing The Enemy is on the March. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, in the last segment, I explained what's going on in this country that is encouraging these mass killings. I mean, other than those perpetrated by Muslim radical terrorists or black cause terrorists targeting police and, you know, what goes over there in Chicago where the gangs killing each other. By the way, why don't those black lives matter? You would think that if the president had any real interest in doing something about people being killed with guns, it would be in Chicago, where, by the way, Chicago has the most stringent gun laws in this nation. And yet, on July 2nd this year, a shooting spree began that continued through the weekend all the way to like 3:30 a.m. Monday, leaving 82 persons shot, including one 7-year-old shot to death. Now, that's more per day than that creep killed in Oregon on Thursday last week. The argument is, well, the guns are coming in from other states. Right. And they're being purchased illegally. Right? Right. So, if you eliminated them from one neighboring state, they'd get their guns illegally from another state. And if you eliminated guns from that state, well, they'd get their guns from yet another state. And if you eliminated all guns in all states, well, they'd get them illegally from Mexico cartels. Mexican cartels who would go into the gun-running business, no doubt. But in this case, they'd be sending guns across our borders into America instead of Obama administration sending them to the cartels from America. You ever heard of Fast and Furious? Well, I think Americans are getting furious fast. Anyway, so they'd get their illegal guns illegally from other countries. And if you made it illegal to have guns in every country in the world, someone would illegally manufacture them, just like they do drugs. Just like they do dope. And then some dopey politician would finally come around and say, hey, you know, this war on guns isn't working. Let's legalize them. Right? Wrong. Why? Well, because drugs actually destroy lives. But guns protect them. So once they have succeeded at taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, well, they'd never legalize them again, no matter how much illegal trafficking in guns went on, because it has never been about protecting the lives of the people, you know, by ridding the land of guns. It has always been about taking away the ability of the people to protect themselves, making them 100% dependent upon the government, their masses. You know, the masses under the protection racket of the masses. I've got news for you. Jesus is the ordaining authority over all powers in this earth. Take that, you sycophantic prophets of Jezebel, who like pigs to the trough run to government as fast as you can to her table, to Jezebel's table, with your distortion of Romans 13:1-6. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And that means all power ordained of God is under Jesus and given to him. And anyway, he said, get a sword, boys. You're going to need it while I'm gone. What would one of these crazies do with a sword in a schoolroom where swords were illegal? Dozens of mass shootings have taken place on Obama's watch. He has taken every one of them as an opportunity to advance his agenda to shred the Second Amendment of our Constitution, to usurp his power over the power that ordained it. His answer every time is to infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms. More mass shootings have occurred on Obama's watch than on that of any other president. Why is that? Is there some secret conspiracy behind the scenes coordinating these events to advance Obama's agenda to push for, ultimately, confiscation of America's guns? You know what? At this point, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there was. But we don't need to go there. If there is a reverse Fast and Furious type conspiracy going on, America will discover it and reverse Fast and Furious. Indeed, into getting furious fast, I had to find a way to use that again, okay? There is no question that Obama wants to end our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. But as for why has there been such an acceleration of these episodes of mass murder since he came into office? Look, the same cultural milieu that I described in the first segment as being responsible for this mess is the same that would vote for and blindly support somebody like Obama. who was and continues to be the most unqualified and unsuited man for the office of the president that it is possible for the human mind to imagine or conceive. All right, you can shave off about 0.5% of that last statement as hyperbole, but that's all I'll give you. Furthermore, every element I described as creating the mass murder-encouraging environment we now have in this country has been exacerbated by his race-baiting, his undermining of the law, and his engendering of anger both on the right and the left, and that upon a culture shaped by public education into a general disrespect for human life anyway, and acceptance of death as a legitimate answer to social problems. The only difference is that Obama wants the government to control the power of death. But allow me to remind the Fuhrerin, gotta listen close, that Christ came to, quote, destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, end quote. And he did that when he spoiled all principality and power, Galatians 2:15. And so he stands in heaven today holding the keys of hell and of death, Revelation 1:18. But look how the great writhing worm digs deep into the minds and hearts of those that serve him and slithers out over their smooth-sounding words into the minds and hearts of his followers, moving them with that insidious impulse to lay their power-hungry hands upon death, as if they would wrest the keys of death and hell from the hand of him who broke the serpent's power on the cross. But their labor is vanity. O Church of God, with the keys of the kingdom, arise, set loose that power invested in you by the Spirit of Almighty God. Release from your belly that flow of living water Jesus invested in you, for 'tis true that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As I listened to the president's speech, it reminded me of Carter. When Carter went before the American people and basically said, it's over, America's done. We're powerless to address our problems. There's some differences, of course, but the spirit was the same, encouraging a kind of a depressive attitude toward America. Obama basically came out and wringing his pitiful hands, whined that, you know, so long as we continue to allow people to have guns, you know, there's nothing we can do. His plan, of course, is to release the spirit in him, that devil that would slither across his smooth words into the hearts of children of disobedience that comprises most of our population today, thanks to a sleeping church, to inspire them to blame the gun owner for these atrocities, you know, to blame the Second Amendment, to blame our Constitution that bars him from doing the only thing that, according to what he wants you to believe, is the only thing that can be done to address this problem. Because the root problem, as Obama sees it, is very simple. Quote, it cannot be this easy for somebody who wants to inflict harm on other people to get his or her hands on a gun, end quote. As if it's the availability of guns that has enabled these persons to act out their anger against Christians, whom Obama has helped to make a target in this country. He could have gone online and learned how to make a homemade bomb, for heaven's sake, that would have served as well and might have taken even more lives. They don't care about the number of lives that are lost to alcohol-related deaths and so on every single year. Nobody goes after alcohol, but they're crazy for the guns. I mean, it isn't the case that this creep said, oh, I have a gun, I'm going to kill somebody tonight. The gun didn't make this man crazy, nor did it put the idea of killing people into his head. Remember, Obama in his speech began by complaining that this business has become routine. You know, that we are numb with these repeated episodes of well, he might be, I'm certainly not. Then he suddenly turns this into a direct attack on those of us who believe in the Second Amendment and believe that if a gun in the hand of the good guys is consistently the answer to stopping a bad guy with a gun, then, well, guns in the hands of more good guys would be a good thing. But no, Obama attacks that crowd directly, quote, and what's become routine, of course, is the response of those who oppose any kind of common sense gun legislation. What a liar. No, sir, what is routine is your constant lying rhetoric crafted to turn the American people against people in this country who believe in the Second Amendment. Your constant effort to demonize Americans who believe that if the American government can be trusted with guns, then certainly the American people can be trusted with guns. But Obama says, what's become routine, of course, is the response of those who oppose any kind of common sense gun legislation. You know, right there, a wicked look. The NRA has consistently supported sensible gun laws. He said, quote, who oppose any kind of common sense gun legislation, end quote. He's a liar. And you can hear the rattle of the snake that slithers out over those smooth words and finds its way into the receptive hearts of the spiritually blind and the numbed-minded of the unreasonable and wicked in this country. God help us. Obama goes on to say, quote, I can imagine the press releases being cranked out. We need more guns, they'll argue. Fewer gun safety laws, end quote. What is this? a preemptive rhetorical strike against what is in fact the answer to this problem? And the only answer that makes anything like common sense? Okay, you want common sense? Are you ready for a dose of common sense? You know, one dose probably won't overwhelm you. Every time this happens, someone with a gun stops it. Every time. So, having someone there with a gun is the best way to protect our children from this sort of thing even getting started. Okay, one more dose of common sense, if you can handle it. If you made owning a gun illegal in every state and in every country, that would not eliminate illegal ownership or illegal use of guns. For heaven's sake, somebody would illegally manufacture them. And that's just common sense. What Obama is pushing is a mind-numbing concoction of rhetoric designed to bring you and others like you under the control of the prince of the power of the air so he can manipulate you into surrendering the power of death into his control so he can use it to control every aspect of your life. Whether he's conscious of that as his agenda or not, that's what this is about. There is a reason our founders insisted that for a people to be free, they must be armed. Jesus said, "Get a sword, boys. You're going to need it while I'm gone." And in today's vernacular, that would be saying, "Get a gun, boys. You're going to need it while I'm gone." Anyway, Obama talks differently. He says, "You don't need a gun." While he waves his jihad jetty hand in the air, "You don't need a gun. Only bad people want a gun." Waving his jetty jihad hand over your face, there are scores of responsible gun owners in this country. Scores? A score is 20. Plural, let's say Obama would allow for there to be, well, how about 100 scores, okay? A couple of thousand Americans. You know, one-third of Americans own a gun. It's probably higher than that. But because we have freedom in this country and there is no federal registration of gun owners yet, we don't know for sure, that would mean well over 106 million Americans own guns and only scores of them are responsible gun owners, you know, that agree with him, by the way. Do you see his Jedi tricks? His rhetorical jihad, his Jedi mind control tricks. But these only work on the low information voter. You see what he has done? He has essentially reduced the number of responsible gun owners to be only those who agree with him. And that amounts to only scores. He's right about that. You know, out of over, well over 100 million people, you wouldn't use that language scores unless you were constructing a lie. And you were clever enough as a liar to know that the strongest lies are constructed from truthful statements. Out of the 106 million gun owners in this country, it's probably true that only scores of them agree with Obama. And as far as Obama is concerned, these are the only responsible gun owners. So later he says, "Americans understand we need to be changing the gun laws, quote, including the majority of responsible law-abiding gun owners," end quote. Folks, I've got to close the show. I have lit the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. By the way, you can register for the Survival Expo using this number or the Lights On Banquet for this year using the same number, 1-888-770-8000. The best way to do it is go to the website, santamarialighthouse.org. Pass your mouse over the word resources in the menu bar. A drop-down shows up, and you can select Survival Expo to register for that event or Lights On Banquet to register for that event. What will it be today, lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000 and let me know. Now, usually I would follow up with a message addressing this issue in my Issachar report Sunday night. However, this Sunday, I'm going to preach my third installment in a series titled Taking America Back. And you don't want to miss that. But I wouldn't be surprised if some commentary on this issue does not work its way into the message Sunday night. See you at 6 p.m. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God in 2015? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015 and know that God is real.